Well, y'all know we're building a new building. Our last service in this church will be November 25th on a Sunday. Right now we're not having Tuesday night Bible study. But starting at the new building, and we have these sheets are over there by the box, and you need to get one of these sheets. It shows you when the services will start, and it also gives you a map and directions from here. So, but you can look on it and see, you know, what's closer to your home. Also, you can go to our website, and you can click on this map, and you can put your own home, and it will give you the directions to the new church, okay? So, effective December 2nd, which will be our very first service, and we're going to have our dedication service, and we're going to have a program, so don't be late that day, because you'll be sorry if you're late, because it's going to be a lot of fun. We're also having communion that day, and we're also having a potluck dinner, and we'll have the sign-up sheet here next week, so, of course, we want everybody to bring food. And we're also having a baby shower for Subhash and Nirmala. It's their very first baby. They're having a little boy. And so next week we will also have a little sheet about where she signed up, you know, Babies or Us or whatever. We'll have that here next week also. We have a kitchen in the new church building. Yes, praise the Lord. But we do, there are certain things that we have a need for. So if anyone wants to kind of, a decorating fund. That's it. A decorating fund for, like, we need a stove, a sink, a dishwasher. We've got the refrigerator and the, what else do we have? There's something else. Well, he's going to buy it. We just.
Got me on.
There you are.
But I said, I tell you what, something I've experienced in my life with people. And this is, I've lived enough to know what people do. I hate to say this about the church, but I never give God the best except the best I have. And so Cheryl said, let's tell people we want a dishwasher and a clothes washer and a dryer.
Oh, yeah,
I told her no. I said,
dryer.
They'll bring me their junk. I don't want their junk. I said, when I build this building, it's going to be new and everything in it's going to be new and everything's going to work. You know, if you've got a brand new dishwasher or a brand new clothes washer, before you buy it, you come ask me because I want the kind I want. You know, I don't even want the one you want. I want the one I want. You know, I'm the engineer. I'm going to build this thing in the name of Jesus. And when we get through, we're going to have a fantastic building. We're going to have a fantastic kitchen. We're going to have a fantastic washer and dryer and all the stuff out there. And it's going to be nice and it's going to be new. So it's amazing the people. Even when I was at Lakeland for years, I saw people bring things. They said, we need something for this or that to give to people. And they brought their junk. And I thought, I mean, I'm serious. You ever see people do that? Let me give this to God. And it's a piece of junk. Well, I'm gonna tell you, God ain't happy with your junk. You know, if you give something to Him, David even said, I would never give God something that didn't cost me something.
Amen.
And that's why we're doing the best we can. And we're going to have a good church, and it's going to be nice, it's going to be new, and we're going to give it everything we got. So this thing's going to be nice, you know, and there ain't going to be no junk in it.
Not at all.
Amen. Okay. Praise the Lord.
Well, anyway, in this wonderful kitchen, we probably will have a serving window, won't we? Anyway, we'll have, you know, like I say, serving window, a double sink, a dishwasher, a stove, a refrigerator, the washer and dryer we have a really big need for because of the fact that we only have one washer and dryer at the other end and we're always needing to wash sheets, so that'll be kind of what that's for. Okay, great news, 7 bathrooms. The roar of the crowd. 7 bathrooms.
Yeah,
there'll be
the
6 down a hall, and then there'll be 1 in the nursery. So in the nursery, Jenny's painting the nursery. But the children, we would love the children to do the borders with handprints, making butterfly handprints and feet prints. So all the little kids, even some of the big kids, the dedication service will also have a paint border thing going on and also in the bathroom, so that's going to be fun. And then also the children, the day of the program, any of the children that would like to participate, you need to see Jenny, okay? So after the service today, all the children, go see Jenny, and she'll start preparing you for your part of the program on December 2nd, okay? Jenny in the red shirt plays the guitar, okay? So all the children see Jenny that would like to participate in the program. Oh, yeah. About the decorating thing, well, you know, obviously we probably won't have any flooring or anything like that in the beginning, but eventually, you know, we're going to drape the stage with really pretty fabric. And so there's just some things that we want to make this church really a neat, special church. So Sunday, December 2nd is the first Sunday afternoon service at 2 o'clock. Then Tuesday, December 4th, we will start back up with Tuesday evening services from 7 to 9. So for all the group that were here the last time, that was the end of it. Well, we're starting those back up. And then our first healing school will be out there Saturday, December the 8th. Okay.
That's it. Yeah.
That's it.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, we'd like to call James and Lori Cronin to the stage.
Okay, we got something special for them today. Hold that right there. Now, on the back of this, we wrote down, every one of us signed this at the Minister Center. Your loss was our loss, Love, Thurman, and Cheryl. And then my granddaughter signed it, Caitlin. Then it says Philip and Krista and Trinity Renee.
Sugar Bee.
And then Sharon Jones has signed this. And Jenny and Kathy and Caitlin and They're good and perfect. Oh, the every good and perfect gift comes from above. That's Love, Tashiana. And then it says we're to love Rosemary McCoy. You're a blessing for the
ministry.
Lisa and Sabrina. Yeah, all our love.
From the TLSM Wendy. Family, all our love, Wendy.
Some of y'all write too small for me. Love, Krista, and then may your joy of the Lord be in your heart.
Be your strength, and that's from Kim and Precious.
And this, this is something, yeah.
Okay, God bless you, and we love you all. Dave, Ayesha, John, Evelyn, and Joshua Rosenfeld, and this is what you need to read.
Okay. Yeah, maybe. My frame from you when I was in a secret place. I'll let her read it with her glasses. She can read that better than I can.
These are Keith's glasses. Okay. My frame my frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Psalm 139:14-16. Brietta was here and will always remain in our hearts.
Praise
she touched every one of us.
Amen. Praise the Lord. We love you. Praise the King. Did y'all see that?
It's her footprints.
That's her little
footprints. When she was born.
That's how little she was when she was born. We fought a great battle for that little girl for almost 2 years, not quite. But it was an awesome battle. You know, we finally lost her. But it was an awesome battle we all fought for that little girl. You know, so we've all lost loved ones. You know, we know what it is to lose loved ones. You know, on this fallen world, you have those kind of things. You know, so we, all of us, have lived in a fallen world. And all of us have been part of that fallen world. Unfortunately, I was telling some of the people at the healing school yesterday, I think about this precious little girl sitting here, for instance, even as young as she is, about 10 years old, I think if somebody had have only known these principles that I've got a hold of today and had have taught me these things from the time I was a little tiny child, I think Dave, he's got a hold of them. He's teaching them to his children. Well, James and Lori is doing their best to teach them to their children. But they didn't get a hold of them early enough. You know, they didn't know these things at when their oldest daughter was a brand new baby. I don't know if they knew these things or not. I don't think they did. I think they were beginning to learn. But even in that, you know, they've raised four wonderful children. But Dave and Ayesha's got a hold of it from beginning. And so they have an opportunity to raise their family in such a place. I mean, I think about little John. Here he is, not even 2 years old yet. Oh, 2.5? Okay, 2.5 years old. I lose touch. Here he is, not even 3 years old, I guess I should say. Not even 3 years old, that yesterday Cheryl was having a little bit of trouble with her neck, and she was sitting there beside me, and he came up to her, and he wanted to lay hands on Grandma where she's hurting to pray for her. So she knelt down, and he laid hands on her neck and bowed his little head. And I thought, God, if I had known that when I was 3 years old, what I could have done. If I'd have been raised up in that kind of a situation, and I'm going to tell you, that's where we need to learn to raise our children today. Now, James and Lord got a hold of it pretty early, but I don't think they had a hold of it as early with their children as Dave and Ayesha has. But at least they got a hold of it, you know, and they're raising their children up in that love and admonition of the Lord. So how many of us have sent our children to not to homeschool like they all have, but sent them out into the world school? And what do they learn out there? They learn some bad stuff. And I thought about that psalm that we read a while ago. I will not look upon anything that's vile. If you got a television in your home, if you meet that criteria, you're going to have to almost turn it off. Almost have to turn it off. Or you'll have to be very, very selective in what you watch. Because the average things on television, you can't look without looking upon things that are vile and wicked. So that's why we live where we live today, is because we feed ourselves the wrong things. And holiness is not something even the church wants to walk in today. You know, we don't know what holiness is. You know, I mean, to walk holy before God. Wow. But that's what He wants. But anyway, praise the Lord. I'm grateful that we had that little thing to give to the Cronins. That's a great little thing, for a little memory thing of the precious little girl that we all fought so many battles for all that time. And I'm telling you, it was a battle. Okay, does anybody know a young lady by the name of Angela Love? Anybody know her? Angela Love? She was at the healing school yesterday, and she left her purse. And I thought, surely she'll come back. And she had a Visa card in it, too. You know, so when we left last night, we took it with us. And Cheryl called the credit card company, I think, and told them that they need to contact them and tell her that we have her credit card. So we don't know who she is. Yes, John? You may know who she is? Okay. Angela Love. She was here yesterday, and she had this little silver purse with her. And I don't know what it's a... I guess it must be a full-grown woman, because she has a card in it. You know, and of course, some kids have cards, too. Okay. Well, anyway, we will get in touch with her somewhere, but I thought I'd just make that note. Okay, praise the Lord. Oh, yes. Do what? Oh, yes. Do what? I have no idea. They don't have an address or nothing.
Didn't have a driver's license?
No, nothing in it. Oh, except a Visa card. And that Visa card, when you call them, they won't tell you nothing. You know, we told them, if you know where she is, you know, get in touch with her and tell her that the Living Savior Ministries has her Visa card. You know, we have it. But see, they won't tell you nothing. You know, you call in, they won't tell you nothing. And so anyway, we're going to find her. I just thought maybe she might accidentally be here again today. She was at the healing school yesterday. We had a great healing school yesterday. We had people from everywhere. I mean, we had people from all over the country. We had people from, we had a couple drove from Kansas City down here to the healing school. We had people come from New Orleans to the healing school. You know, we had people from all over. And we had a full house. We had this many or more yesterday at the healing school. It was great. You know, we had a great time. Now then, today we're going to start out in Matthew chapter 3, verse 2. I'm going to read a few verses, just a few little single verses, and then we'll get into some teaching deeper into the Word. But I want you to see this message that the Lord's got here, and I want you to see what He expects us to do today, and I want to confirm this. Yesterday, I've had many people ask me, you know, I don't believe sickness comes from sin. I mean, I have people tell me that all the time. You know, I don't believe that. I mean, many of them tell me that. You know, I mean, preachers tell me that. You know, that's not true. Well, yesterday, for the first 2.5 hours, all I did was quote scriptures and said, you're sick because you sinned. Now, if you can't get the message from that yesterday, you're woods wet somewhere. You know, so, okay, you know, don't come tell me I don't believe sickness is caused from sin. If you don't, you get yesterday's teaching and look at it over and over and over, and you're sick because of sin. okay, you know. Praise God. So anyway, it's amazing, isn't it? So if you got a cell phone, turn it off. You know, we don't need the cell phones running. James always reminds me, but anyway. Oh, and by the way, one thing I might say too. James just told me that he will no longer be teaching the morning Bible study anymore. So there won't, starting immediately today. Today's the last day. He taught it this morning. But next Sunday at 12:30 to 1:30, he will not be here to teach a Bible study class. We will have no more Bible studies until we get, who knows when we'll do, but here there will be no more. Only the afternoon service, 2 to 4. The second Saturday of next month, we'll have another healing school here, and then everything will be out at the new building. Praise the Lord. Starting December. Okay, praise the Lord. Matthew 3:2. Let's go to that one to start out with. And I want you to see in Matthew chapter 3, verse 2, that NLT is okay. We use that. That's fine. I looked most of them up in both. But I want you to see what Matthew chapter 3, verse 2 says. Turn from your sins and turn to God, because the kingdom of heaven is near. Now, you know what? If it says turn from your sins, what do you think the King James says right there? Repent. Repent. Does repent and turn from your sins mean the same thing? There it is. And say, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It is at hand. It is here. You know, it's not going to come. It's here. Now we go to Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. And we'll look at it maybe in both of those scriptures. Matthew 4, 17. We'll look at this one. Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. From then on, Jesus began to preach, turn from your sins and turn to God, because the kingdom of heaven is near. Now, what was Jesus' message from the very beginning of Matthew? Repent. You know, I mean, we were up in the Northeast here quite a while ago, and there was a lady in that little group. She told me, she said, I don't see where you're getting this about repent before you can be healed. She said, Jesus didn't come saying repent. I said, ma'am, one of us is reading a different book. You know, I said, Jesus sent a forerunner in front of him called John the Baptist. And John the Baptist had one message. Repent. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. He didn't preach nothing else. He didn't say Jesus is coming. He didn't say nothing about the end times or nothing else. He just said, repent and turn from your wicked sins. That was his only message. Repent and turn from your sins. And so he went about baptizing people all over the place for the remission of their sins. And so then when Jesus comes on the scene, from then on Jesus began to preach, repent or turn from your sins and turn to God, because the kingdom of heaven is near. Has he changed anything? No. He don't want you to suffer. He does not want you to be sick. He does not want death and destruction to follow you. He wants you to repent and turn to God. He wants you to walk holy. Now, something else just popped in my mind. I just read this morning. This was a letter I got from the ACLJ, the American Civil Liberties Union. The Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow. How many of you know that Jay and his team have just gone to battle, talking about turning and repenting, they have just gone to battle for the last couple of years to get partial birth abortion taken out, and they finally won? I don't know if you already knew that or not, but they got it. It was voted on by Congress. They approved it. It was voted on by the Supreme Court, and they passed it. President Bush signed it into law and everything, and then immediately Hillary Clinton and her both come against it to put a law in that'll make a partial birth abortion a part of the law, and it can never be changed if they get this bill passed. It don't matter what happens. And it's called freedom of choice. But you know what? If we're Christians and we serve God, these people up there that we need to pray for, that are doing what they're doing, it doesn't make any difference if partial birth abortion is legal or not. If we teach people the truth, there ain't no woman going to have one of her babies killed in an abortion, especially a partial birth abortion. Do you know what a partial birth abortion is? That's killing a child after it comes out of the womb full grown. Full-term baby. Full-term baby killed as it's being delivered. And, of course, Hillary and her group, they wanted this thing to go on till the baby was 1 or 2 days old. And then if you don't like the baby, you can kill it and still be legal. Where do those people come from? Do you think they need a little prayer? I think they need a whole lot of prayer. Can you imagine walking into a little 1 or 2 day old baby and killing it? I can't imagine pulling the little critter out of the womb and slitting the back of its head and sucking its brains out right there as it dies in its mother's half in its body. I can't even fathom that. There ain't nobody but a person controlled by the devil of hell could do that. No human being has a love of Christ in them could do that. But that's what we're fighting against. And wow. So Jesus said, turn from your sins. You reckon he means this? I think he does. Mark 1:15. Let's go on. Mark 1:15. Let's see what he says here. At last the time has come, he announced. The kingdom of God is near. Turn from your sins and believe this good news. See, he's preaching repentance all the way through all this. At last the time has come. He announced the kingdom of God is near. Well, where is the kingdom of God today? Right here. It ain't far away, is it, Tom? It's in you and I. Okay, let's go to Mark 6:12. We'll hit a few of these and we'll see. We'll get this idea. So the disciples went out telling all they met to turn from their sins. Now, what is yours and my job? Are we disciples? What is our job to tell the people today? Turn from your wicked sins. Somebody said, I might get fired if I were to start talking about that at work. You know what I did one time? I went to work for a corporation, and after I'd been there only a few weeks, of course, this corporation had still the same corporation technically. It had been sold 2 times. Well, the second time it was sold, when I was moved up there as a regional engineer for these people, the VP wanted to take us upper management people in and show us a movie, just a 3 or 4 or 5 minute segment of a reentry of a movie that was made by man about the satellite coming back in and the complications and problems they had and how these guys worked together as teamwork. And 2 times in that video, in that little short video, these guys took our God's name in vain on that screen. And the first time, it just chilled me to the bone. The second time, I said, that's it, God. I said, if your name's taken in vain the third time, I'm out of here. I ain't staying in this room. Well, it didn't do it no more. But after the video was over, he gave us about a 30-minute talk on how to work together as teamwork. And when it was over, he said, okay, y'all are dismissed. I said, could I see you in your office? There's not many guys want to see the president in his office. But I said, I'd like to see you privately in your office. He said, what for? I said, I got something to talk to you about that's very private. We walked into his office. He said, what's wrong? I said, I want you to know that, first off, I am a man of God. And I said, on that video you showed in there, they took my Lord's name in vain 2 times. I said, I want you to know I will never sit in another meeting that men and women cannot talk without using vulgar words of profanity. I will have nothing to do with a corporation that allows their people to offend me as a Christian. Amen. And he said, well, I've taken the Lord's name in vain a lot of times myself. And I said, God told you, you'll not go unpunished too. And I said, you know, you're treading on thin ice. He said, well, Thurman, you sound like my mother. I said, praise God. I said, you must have a good mother. If I sound like your mother, you got a good mother. He said, well, Thurman, I'm sorry if I offended you. I said, well, you certainly did. And I said, if it ever happens again, I will either leave the meeting or I'll leave this company. I will not work for a company that allows that kind of profanity in a meeting. He said, well, I'll make a note and send it down to them and tell them from this day forth there'll never be any vulgar terms or any profanity spoken in a meeting in this establishment. And they did. And I never heard another one. What can one man of God do? You can change the world.
Amen.
You walk in somewhere knowing who you are in Christ. You know, I just can't get over us as Christians. The average Christian today, we are gutless. I don't want to offend somebody. Well, get over it. Everything Jesus, he was an offense to everybody.
Amen.
That's what brought you into the kingdom.
Right.
He told you if you don't line up, you're going to hell. He said, repent or you're going to hell. Woo! That was an offense to a lot of people, but he is an offense. Well, guess what? If you think you're going to go through this world and not offend people, when you bring his message, you got another thing coming. But some of them you're going to get saved. Some of them you're going to get set free. Some of them you're going to change. But some of them is going to hate your guts because of what you do. And that's okay. As long as Jesus, as long as I'm about his business, he's the only one I'm trying to please. I ain't trying to please nobody else but Jesus. I want the King, when I get there one day, to say, well done, son. You walked in obedience to my word. You told it like it was. And look at this bunch over here. This whole bunch over here. In fact, there's a lady here a few years ago. She had come to two or three of my healing schools. This has been 6 or 8 years ago. She called me. She said, Thurman, I had a dream last night. I got to tell you about this dream. I said, okay. She said, in this dream, I saw a multitude of people, bigger than I could even number. And said, there stood Jesus. And she said, there I stood. And I looked at her, I said, Jesus. I said, who are these people? He said, these are the people that I'm going to save and deliver and heal through my son, Thurman Scrivener. She said, I had to call you and tell you. I thought, you know, God, my goal and my outlook on life has been too little. It's been too little. Back in those days, I was giving away 500 tapes a week. I thought that was a lot. Now we're giving away 10 and 20,000 a week. Isn't that something? 10 and 20,000 a week. Not a month, a week. Where are these things going? I don't know. But yesterday, I don't know how many times almost everybody that was in the ministry here yesterday came and told me, it's amazing how many people come and thanked us for this ministry, for your obedience to serve God. You've changed our life forever. A young lady walked up right here with her mother and dad, and she said, sir, I want you to know I've got some other problems I need to be prayed for, but just from listening to your CDs and DVDs, I got healed of diabetes. She said, thank you for your ministry. Hey, if you can teach something that changes somebody's life, it's got to be God. You know, there ain't no other way you can do that, right? It's got to be God. Well, let me tell you, I'm grateful. So I, as a disciple, they went out telling all that met to turn from their sins. How many people are you supposed to tell to turn from their sins? All of them. And the place you can start first is every church member you know. And then you can go into the world. If the church straightens this act up, starts working in obedience to God's word, hey, you know what we're going to do? We're going to go out there and we're going to sweep this world for Jesus. But you know what? Somebody says, oh, you? Oh, I remember you when you were a wicked kid, when you used to drink and raise Cain and all this stuff. You say, yeah, I used to do that, but that old man died. Amen. I'm a new man now. Why? But I knew you back yonder. I said, that's okay. Yeah, back yonder. I was that wicked guy, but that guy died. I'm a new man now. And that's why I'm telling you to repent from your sins. Amen. You know, I hate it when somebody says, yeah, you bunch of Christians. I went to church for a while. You know, but I know old so-and-so down there. He goes to church every Sunday. He's a deacon down there. That guy, he'll steal from you. He'll do a dirty deal with you. You know. Have you ever heard anybody say things like that?
Yep. Amen.
You want to know why nobody wants to be a Christian? We need to be different.
Amen.
If they say, a Christian? Oh, man. That woman? I know her, and man, if I ever seen a woman that walks like Jesus, it's that woman. Is there a Christian like her? We wished. But unfortunately, they're not. You know. But we need to be working on it, don't we? We need to repent. Because you can't tell somebody else to turn from their sins if you haven't turned from them yourself. If you're lying, stealing, cheating, committing adultery, and some people don't go out and commit adultery physically, but they do it with their eyes. You know, look at some man, look at some woman, and somebody watches them. You know, they're in church, and a guy or a girl, woman, she gets up to walk out or whatever, and Everybody's looking at her. They forget what you're teaching on. They're looking at her. Hey, watch what you look at. Pay attention, you know, because who's watching you? Everybody's watching you, but who's watching you that pays, that really counts? Jesus. That's exactly right. Did he tell you to repent, turn from your wicked ways? Yes, he did. And so the disciples went out telling all they met to turn from their sins. Now let's go to Luke 13, 3 through 5. Luke 13, 3 through 5. No. Luke 13, 3 through 5. NL, oh, King James? Okay, 3 through 5. NLT, okay. Luke 13, 3 and 4. Okay. Not at all. And you will also perish unless you turn from your evil ways and turn to God. Now, what's that saying? And you will also perish unless you turn from your evil ways and turn to God. Do you want to perish?
No.
Is your sins and life worth spending eternity in hell for?
No.
But you don't know what he did to me. It don't make no difference. It ain't worth spending one second hell for, is it? Much less eternity. And you also will perish unless you turn from your evil ways and turn to God. And he says, and what about the 18 men who died when the Tower of Siloam fell on them? Were they the worst sinners in Jerusalem? What does he say in verse 5? No. And I tell you again that unless you repent, you will also perish. Now, when the tower fell on those men, were they the worst sinners in Jerusalem? No, they weren't any worse than anybody else. They were sinners. And, of course, that's why the tower fell on them. It's just like the other day I run into a contractor. He said, he's a ceiling contractor, laying tile, putting grid and everything in. And he had a job. And he said, I'm up in there, and I had two men that worked for me, and we were working diligently to get this building finished. He said, I'm a man of God. I love God. I run my business under God's principles. And said, we're up there. I'm working diligently. And he said, all of a sudden, the Lord spoke to me and said, son, I want you to go to lunch and stay gone until I tell you to come back. He said, Lord, it's only 11 o'clock, and I'm not hungry, and I got to get this building finished. He said, son, you obey me. Now, when God speaks to you, you know what you better do?
Obey.
You better obey. So he said, I come down to prayer thinking, oh, God, I got to get this building finished. I told the two guys, I said, I got to go somewhere for a little while. I'll be back in a little while. I said, I didn't tell them, but God spoke to me and told me to leave. Well, see, I didn't have any idea what he wanted me to do. And you know what the average person, you tell them God told you to leave, they're going to say, huh, got a little problem here, you know. Who are we working for? He's a nut. And that's not the way it should be, but that's the way it is. Anyway, he said, I left. And he said, I went up there, and I wasn't hungry, but I pulled into a little fast food place and got me a hamburger, and I sat there, and I'm munching on the hamburger and everything. And he said, it come 12. I said, God, can I go back to work yet? He said, no. Okay, God, okay. So he said, I just messed around there. Finally, about 12:30, he'd be gone an hour and a half. Sitting there, said, Lord, I got to get this building finished. I got a deadline. Finally, about 12:30, the Lord said, okay, son, you can go back down there. He said, I got in my truck and started down there. As I got close, I heard sirens. I heard ambulances. And he said, I pulled up in front of the place, and they had it barricaded off. And the main wall to the front of that place had collapsed and fell out, and everybody inside was killed. Does it pay good dividends to listen to God?
Amen.
Now, why did the two men in there that worked for him both get killed, and he didn't? Why did God choose him to send him somewhere else? He had a plan. And the boy was serving him. And he loved God. And he came to a healing school here and told me that story. He said, let me tell you, Mr. Scrivener, when I hear you talk on that tape, you heard God's voice, and you said, when he speaks to you, obey you. He said, let me tell you, that little deal, it only took one. From that day forth, when the king talked to me, he said, I don't even ask questions. I just do what he says. Well, what's he saying right there? And I'll tell you again that unless you repent, you'll also perish. That's just as good as if God spoke that to you audibly. You know that? No difference. Now then, Luke 16, verse 27 through 31. Luke 16. Then the rich man said, "Please, Father Abraham, send him," he's talking about Lazarus, "to my father's home, for I have five brothers, and I want him to warn them about this place of torment, so they won't come to here when they die." Now see, this guy, he didn't believe. Somebody told him about this place of torment. But he didn't believe. Oh, he's a wealthy guy. He's got big barns and everything. You know, who needs God? You know, I will tear down. I had a bumper crop this year. So what am I going to do with all this? Oh, I know. I'll tear down my old barn. I'll build me some great big new ones. And I'll fill them up. And I'll sit back and say, "So, take life easy. Many years, I'll just eat, drink, and be merry." And the Lord said, "You fool. Tonight, your soul shall be required of you." Who of us knows what night or day our soul will be required of us? Do we know? No, we don't have a clue. Don't have a clue. You know, we live today like, and we act today like we're going to never die. You know it? But you know, life lived in terms of dying is much more dynamic. Much more. Just like the other day. We come out, after we sent out the timely warnings and all that stuff, I went out and I run around. I opened the car door for my sweetheart and I let her get in. She said, "You're going to do it one more time. This may be the last time." But you know, we don't know that, do we? Today, I did it again for her today. But it might be the last time. But I ain't going to confess that because I believe I'm going to be here for a long time yet. But nobody knows what today holds. But this rich man, he'd been told, but he ain't going to believe it. But now he's in this place of torment. He's in this flaming torment. He says, "I don't want," he said, "Please, please, Father Abraham, send Lazarus to my father's home. And for I have five brothers, and I want Lazarus to warn them about this place of torment so they won't have to come here when they die." I wonder how many people are down there right now saying, "Please, Lord, let me go back." And you know what he's saying? No. Listen to my preachers. "No, but Lord, if one comes back from the dead." No. You can raise somebody from the dead. God's raised a lot of people from the dead. I think about that book. I forgot what the title of it is. Something about hell. But it's that doctor that was a medical doctor. Some of you may have seen the book. And how that as a medical doctor, he was a heart specialist. And when they'd have a trauma come in and somebody had been in an accident or a wreck and their heart had stopped, he'd shock treat them and do all the stuff they knew how to do. And he'd bring somebody back from the dead. And when they did, they'd screaming, "I was in hell! Help me! I was in hell!" He said, "I thought they're hallucinating." And then one day I'd bring one back and he said, "Doc, what do you mean? I was in heaven. I don't want to come back to this place." He said, "I thought, what's the deal? These people are stupid. You know, they're hallucinating. One of them sees some wonderful place and the next one something that's awful." And finally one day he resurrected a guy that had died and he said, "Doc, you got to help me. I was in hell. I want to accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. How do I do it?" The Christian doctor said, "I ain't even a Christian." I told him, "Well, I've been to church. I heard, just confess Jesus as Lord and Savior." He said, "I don't even know how to do that." He said, "Well, repeat after me. I receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior." And see, what he didn't know when he said that, he got saved. Hallelujah. That's what I say. He received Jesus as his Lord and Savior. He got saved and he became a He said, "Something totally new happened when I confessed Jesus." Now, what's God? What will God do to get you saved? He'll do even anything. Does he want you saved? Yes. He'll do anything. But this guy here, he's in the flames of torment and he's suffering. Let's go to the next two verses. "But Abraham said, Moses and the prophets have warned you. Your brothers can read their writings anytime they want to." Can you read this book anytime you want to? You got this book, and you, of all people today, people lived on earth, there's more Bibles been printed than any other book in the world. Millions of them. The most produced book in the world and the least read. I asked a question the other day at Baltimore. People said, how do you learn all this stuff? I said, well, let me ask y'all a question. As Christians, how many of you have been a Christian for 10, 15, 20 years? And almost everybody in that place raised their hand. I said, okay, good. Now, I don't want you to lie. Remember, God's right there with you. I said, how many of you have read the entire Bible at least once? And five people held up their hand. I said, that's how I learn it. I read it over and over and over, and I listen to it when I drive down the road. I don't turn on secular radio. I got a CD in there talking about Jesus. It's the Word of God. You know, I listen to it over and over and over and over, and then I study it over and over and over. How do I learn it? I read the book. How are you going to learn it? Read the book. You know, I'm not going to ask you to tell me how many of you have read it, because I'm going to tell you there's a bunch of you in here today that has never read the Bible one time through. And you've been a Christian for a long time. But, you know, but anyway, he says, you have the Bible. You have the writings. You can read it anytime you want to. The only problem is they don't want to. They'd rather be watching television or listening to Somebody Done Somebody Wrong song on the radio. You know, you don't want to be, you know, anything except read the Bible. Good grief. The rich man replied, no, Father Abraham, but if someone is sent to them from the dead, then they will turn from their sins. Let's see what he said in verse 31. But Abraham said, if they won't listen to Moses and the prophets, they won't listen even if someone rises from the dead. Now, have we had that man rise from the dead now? Oh, yeah. Has Jesus, did he come? You know? You start asking people everywhere you go. When you walk up to them, I don't care if you go to a convenience store. I don't care if they're a Muslim. Just like I walked into that little store over in Denton the other day, and there was two Muslim people in there, a man and a woman. I walked in to buy some gas. I walked up and I said, oh, instead of buying at the pump, I thought, I'm going to go and see who owns this little place. I walked in. I said, who owns this place? And they said, we do. I said, are you Muslim? They said, yes. I said, do you believe in Jesus? Oh, yeah, we believe Jesus is a prophet. I said, but you don't know him as Lord and Savior. Oh, no, he was just a prophet. I said, great. I was going to buy gas from y'all, but I ain't going to now. I said, I ain't going to spend gas. I ain't going to buy no money, spend no money with nobody that don't know my Savior. So I went down the street to another place. You know, somebody said, that's not nice of you. Well, get a hold of it. That's the way I am. I am not going to spend my money with somebody who's trying to kill us. You know? When I heard that Bin Laden had got over $100 billion drug money to fight us, to kill us, he's sending these little $5 packets of heroin over here from Afghanistan, and we're buying these things, all I got to say for us is we are a stupid bunch. If you take heroin, you're stupid. You know, if you smoke or drink or anything else, you got a problem. And you need to get rid of it, because this is a temple of God, and God don't want you to defile your temple with that kind of junk. Amen. He wants you to take care of it. Do you know that? How many of us as Christians don't do that? Oh, God is big, loving, kind. You know, He's sweet. He knows that I have this desire for whatever, and He don't mind if I eat it or drink it. I think He does. If it defiles your temple, I know He does, because He said, if you defile your temple with anything, I, God, will destroy your temple. Why do you think so many people die early? They don't believe this book. Wow. But just like Abraham said, if they won't listen to Moses and the prophets. Now, do we have Moses and the prophets? Oh, yeah, we got more than Moses and the prophets. We got the whole Bible today, don't we? We got the whole thing, and people won't read it. He said they won't listen even if someone rises from the dead. And did Jesus rise from the dead? Has He raised many other people from the dead since then? Yes. Probably tens of thousands of them. We never hear about it hardly. You know, I mean, if I hadn't seen one man raised from the dead, and technically my granddaughter, she was raised from the dead. I mean, with a brain stem severed and eyes jerked out of the brain, the doctor said it's over for Caitlin. But I stood on God's word and I watched Him put that little baby back together. You know, and I mean, I stood and I fought. And I mean, as I stood and fought, you have no idea what I went through from my Christian brothers and sisters. The world knew she wasn't going to live. But my Christian brothers and sisters, they thought I was a nut. Thurman. I said, no. I got the promises of God. I'm standing on them. But Thurman, go ahead and bury her with her mother. Wouldn't it be so nice to put her in a coffin with her mother? No. I want her to live. And so God raised her from the dead. Today she's a long ways from being dead. And if you don't believe she's a woman, all you got to do is be around her a little while. She's got a mind of her own, let me tell you. She's a normal little woman. She knows what she wants. She called Grandma the other day and we were in Baltimore. She said, Grandma, what are you doing up there? And she said, well, Grandpa and I are up here. He's teaching the Bible. She said, well, if he's teaching the Bible, why don't you come back home and let him stay and teach the Bible? See, got a mind of her own. She wants Grandma back at home, see. She loves for Grandma to take her to the store because she knows she always gets what she wants when she goes to the store with Grandma. Oh, goodness. Grandmas are there to spoil the baby's rotten. Yeah, praise the Lord. Okay, Acts 2:38. Good grandmas spoil grandbabies rotten. That's all. And sometimes granddads do too. Okay, Acts 2:38. Peter replied, each of you must turn from your sins and turn to God. How many of you? Each individual. I mean, there's no grandchildren in the kingdom of God, is there? Each one of us must turn from our wicked ways and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, how many people would like to have the gift of the Holy Spirit? Ooh, without Him, don't leave home without Him. You can't do nothing. I've walked a lot of years of my life in a church that said there was no such thing as a second event called the infilling power of the Holy Ghost. And because I listened to that and believed that, I was absolutely powerless. I couldn't do not one single thing. I never got anybody saved, never got anybody healed, didn't even know it was available. But then I began to read this stuff, and I began to get a hold of this, and I thought, God, there's a second event called the infilling power of the Holy Spirit. And then I went to church that Sunday, and a pastor, which was a PhD at the time, he taught against that infilling power. He said, there's no such thing as a second event called the infilling power of the Holy Spirit. I thought, okay, Lord, one of us don't understand this right, and I may be wrong. You know, I'm not here to say that I got a corner on the market, but the next Monday morning when I drove by that church where I went that Sunday, I looked up and I said, Lord, I met that man yesterday, and I believe that man, although I know he's a PhD, I saw it in the bulletin, I believe that man loves you with all his heart, but I believe he's wrong. I said, now, Lord, I may be wrong, but Lord, I've been reading this book, and it looks like, from what I can see, there is a second event called the infilling, baptizing power of the Holy Spirit. And you said, wait for that. And I said, Lord, I'm way past the time of waiting, so now I need it. If it's available to me, I want to be filled with the infilling power of the Holy Spirit. And let me tell you, in that little Ford pickup, God came in that pickup with me that day, and me and Him had a real meeting. And I ain't never been the same since that day. Never been the same. So let me tell you, He confirmed to me that if each of you turn from your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, which I'd done that when I was 11, for the forgiveness of your sins, then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And let me tell you, there is not a better gift in the world than that gift. When that Holy Spirit comes upon you, He can use you and He can put any number of gifts upon you. Now, who knows what gifts He'll give you when you receive Him and you're baptized with Him. Who knows? There's a whole bunch of gifts. But if you don't get one or two or three of them, don't think you didn't get it. You go out and say, I asked for the infilling power of the Holy Ghost. I got it. Now, Lord, what are we going to do from here? And who knows what He'll use you for? But beyond my wildest dreams, what He's used me for since that's Monday morning. All right, let's go to Acts 8:12 through 40. Acts 8:12. But now the people believed Philip's message of good news concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. As a result, many men and women were baptized. Now this is what you and me are supposed to be doing, telling them about the kingdom, the good news concerning the kingdom of God. Then Simon himself believed and was baptized, and he began following Philip wherever he went. And he was amazed by the great miracles and signs Philip performed. Today, the church is amazed whenever somebody walks in signs and wonders. But it ought to be normal for all of us. We ought to all be walking in signs and miracles, right? We're the church. Philip's no different. Well, let's go to the next two verses. When the apostles back in Jerusalem heard that the people of Samaria had accepted God's message, they sent Peter and John there. As soon as they arrived, they prayed for these new Christians to receive the Holy Spirit. See, these guys had not received it. They didn't hear about it. They didn't know it was real. Did they get saved? Yeah, they were saved. But had they received the infilling power of the Holy Spirit? No, not there. But what did Peter and them do? They prayed for these new Christians to receive the Holy Spirit. Isn't that amazing? The Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them, for they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now see, that's where I lived a long time of my life. That's where I lived. I didn't know there was a second event called the Holy Spirit. Then, in verse 17, then Peter and John laid their hands upon these believers and they received the Holy Spirit. There's great power in laying hands on people. Great power laying hands on people. Now, when they laid their hands on them, what happened to them? The Holy Spirit came into them. And they got this great and awesome power. Let's go to the next couple of verses. When Simon saw that the Holy Spirit was given when the apostles placed their hands upon people's heads, he offered money to buy this power. Now, that's a problem. A lot of people want to be able to have God's power so you can make money. God don't like that. You don't do anything in the kingdom for money. You just give the kingdom of God to people and let God give you money if He wants you to have it. If He don't want you to have it, then no big deal. You know. But He says, laid your hands upon it and He wanted to buy this power. Let me have this power too, he exclaimed, so that when I lay my hands on the people, they will receive the Holy Spirit. Next couple of verses. But Peter replied, may your money perish with you for thinking God's gift can be bought. You can't buy the kingdom of God. You can have no part in this, for your heart is not right before God. What was wrong with him? He had heart trouble. What's wrong with us? Heart trouble. Our heart is not clean and pure. We got heart troubles. We got darkness in our heart. We'd rather do a little lying here or a little cheating here, a little sleeping around here. Do you know what? God knows your heart, doesn't He? And you can't get by with nothing. When you leave, I don't go with you. But when I leave, who goes with me? God. He's with me 100% of the time. And He knows everything I say, everything I do. And He knows, He looks in, and He even views my heart. He knows what's in there. I don't even have to be doing something wrong. I can just be thinking about doing something wrong, and I'm guilty. And He said, well, if that's where you're going to be, that's okay. There's not going to be any power in your life. I'm not going to share my power with people that don't walk in obedience to my word. And I think that's why the church has so little power in it today. But next thing he says, turn from your wickedness and pray to the Lord. Now you notice what he said. Turn from your wickedness and pray to the Lord. Perhaps he will forgive your evil thoughts. For I can see that you are full of bitterness and you're held captive by sin. Now who's holding him captive? The devil. What does he have in his heart? Bitterness. Who is he bitter at? It doesn't say. But how many Christians you know? I mean, I can go back and I can think of the testimony that's on one of the DVD back there, the Miraculous Healings. Norma Garcia. You'll see her on there. Norma is the sweetest little lady. A grandmother. A great-grandmother. This woman, she said, my children, you could ask them, how about mother? Oh, mama, it's the sweetest thing. How about Grandma? Oh, Grandma's the sweetest little lady. We love her with all our heart. She said, if you'd ask anybody, what about Grandma? She's a wonderful Christian. She goes to church every time the door's open. She helps everybody, does everything. But then why has Grandma and Mama been sick all of her life? Why has she had major surgeries? Why does she now have Parkinson's and lupus along with many other things? Somebody said, well, see, it's just one of those things. No, it was sin. I told her, I said, you got a sin in your life and you're going to have to confess it to God. She said, I said, what is your sin? She said, it's my hatred toward my dad. I've had bitterness and hatred toward my dad for what he'd done to me when I was a little girl. But no, she kept it all in and never told anybody. All those years, that hatred and bitterness, that she was the sweetest woman on the outside, but her heart was full of darkness. And it caused her to open the door to the demonic world. And she had numerous surgeries and sickness. And now she's got Parkinson's and lupus. When she walked down that aisle that night and said, I repent. I asked my father to forgive me, although he's dead. I forgive him. And I ask the Lord to forgive me for holding this bitterness against my dad and the unforgiveness I've held. I repent and I'll love him. Lord, I repent. I reached up and laid my hand on a woman shaking with Parkinson just like that, and God instantly healed her. And 4 or 5 years have gone by, and that woman has not been back to a hospital, not been sick a single time since that day. Now, what made the difference? Sin. But you know, if you'd ask her, or she told it herself on the tape. She said, if you'd ask my children or grandchildren, how sweet is Mama? Does she have sin in her life? They'd all say, oh, no, my mama's the greatest mama there ever was. But see, they can't see her heart, can they? Who can see her heart? God can. And man, that opened the door to the devil. God knows your heart. You can be the sweetest little man, the sweetest little woman. You look me straight in the face and say, I love you. But inside you're saying, I hate this guy's guts. And guess what? God sees that. He knows that. And you want to be sick? Stay. Just stay there. It'll make you sick. It'll kill you. And not yesterday, we learned not only will it kill you, it'll kill your children. Many times we studied scriptures yesterday that if you don't walk in obedience to His Word, I will curse you and your children. That's scary, isn't it? That ought to make every mom and daddy straighten their act up. Every one of us. Turn from your wickedness and pray to the Lord. Perhaps He will forgive your evil thoughts. Perhaps. Maybe. For I, even I, can see that you're full of bitterness and held captive by sin. What's the boy got to do before he can get God to do anything for him? He got to get rid of that bitterness. You got to clean up that heart. Next verse. Pray to the Lord for me, Simon said. Now that sounds just like us. I can't do this. You do it for me. It's too hard for me. I don't want to have to study the Word. I ain't got time. You've done it. You paid the price. You pray for me. So I can get healed. You know what, people come here? We paid the price. We pray the prayer of faith for them, and they get healed. And 2 to 5 years, they're back again. Need to be prayed for again. You know what they didn't do when they left here? They didn't get in the Word. They did not get in the Word. They got healed. Now who needs God? Oh, if I get sick again, I got a good insurance policy. I can come back to Dallas to the Living Savior Ministries. Thurman, he pays the price. God will heal me when he prays for me. Hey, don't bet on that. Because I'm not the healer. The King is. The King might say, huh, yeah, my son prayed for you last time and I healed you. But this time you didn't get in the Word. So when he prayed for you this time, I ain't healing you. You get in that Word and you become that girl I want you to become. Then I'll heal you. Because guess who's not the healer? Me. I just get to pray for you. Guess who looks upon our heart? The King does. And He knows. That's why some people, I mean, that's just like just the last few days. I had a woman, I prayed for her. She was in gross pain. She said, I came to your ministry a year ago and nothing happened. I said, well, you didn't get rid of your sin. She said, well, I think I did. I said, no, something wrong. I said, let's go through and let's start going through and see. I said, how about this and this and this? And I covered all kinds of stuff. Well, no. And then I said, unforgiveness. You got unforgiveness? You called her mother or dad? I guess I have got unforgiveness toward my dad. I said, okay, there's a good start. I said, repent. Ask God to forgive you. And then I said, how about anybody else? She said, the Lord just cooked my spirit, my sister. I've got unforgiveness toward her. I said, oh, okay. And so she got rid of that. And then we started to go on, and she said, oh, and the Lord just touched me about a woman. That I said, oh, you thought your heart was clean. That booger's filthy in there. It'd be just like you walking up and say, I come in the house, you know, and open the door, and the wind's blowing and dirt and dust comes in, and somebody says, man, my house is clean. You say, yeah, that's before I opened the door. Now then the door will walk in and there's dirt and crud everywhere. That must be what our hearts look like before God. You know that? He wants us to clean it up. So, you know, if you continue until you get all of their sins repented of, when they repent and you pray for them and they believe, what happens to people? They get healed. That's just the way it works. After testifying, but he says, pray to the Lord for me, Simon explained, that these terrible things won't happen to me. After testifying and preaching the word of God in Samaria, Peter and John returned to Jerusalem, and they stopped in many Samaritan villages along the way to preach the good news to them too. Now, we're supposed to be stopping everywhere we stop. You and me as disciples are supposed to be preaching or proclaiming the word of God. But don't try to do something for Jesus if you haven't straightened your act up yourself. Don't go in and try to tell somebody about Jesus when you know you're living in sin. And if you ain't walking in love, forget it. He can't use you. He ain't going to use you until you come in line with the Word. As for Philip, an angel of the Lord said to him, go south. An angel of the Lord? You mean somebody talked to Philip? He heard a voice? But God don't do those kind of things anymore. Oh, yeah, He does. Just like that. As for Philip, an angel of the Lord said to him, go south down the desert road that leads from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he did. And just think, Philip didn't even argue, did he? See, he's way ahead of me. See, I would have had to do an argument. God, what do you mean go down there in the desert for, Lord? It's hot down there and ain't no air conditioning down there. That'd be us today, isn't it? Lord, I don't want to go down there. Lord, I don't want to go out there and work on that slab. It's hot out there and it's dirty out there. You know, but let me tell you, we worked and several people come and helped us this week. And I'm sitting there looking at John. John come out there, and boy, we had dirt going everywhere. I mean, we hauled no telling how many yards of dirt. We put up that slab and all, and at the end, we'll show you some pictures of it. Some of you might have saw them before. I told Dave we'd run through these before we started, but I didn't. I forgot it. But show you a little bit about what we've done out there. But hopefully, Wednesday, we're going to pour that slab. But go south down the desert road that leads to Jerusalem to Gaza. So he did, and he met the treasurer of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under the queen of Ethiopia. I mean, this guy has a great influence in his country. He's not just a normal man. He's a man of great power and authority. The eunuch had gone to Jerusalem to worship. And he was now returning, seated in his carriage. He was reading aloud from the book of the prophet Isaiah. The Holy Spirit said to Philip, now then, a while ago we had an angel talking to him, now the Holy Spirit's talking to him. Who can talk to you? Ooh, can God do this several different ways? Ooh, yes He can. The Holy Spirit said to Philip, go over and walk along beside the carriage. You know, Philip didn't argue. He just went over there. Now that's what you and me need to do when the Lord speaks to us, just obey Him. And you know what He will do if we obey Him? When He talks to us, you know He'll get to where He'll talk to you more often. You know why some of you He don't talk to? Because He talked to you once or twice or three times or 10 times and you never did obey. So He said, okay, that's it. Until you obey what I told you before, I ain't talking to you no more. You just cut yourself off from God. Lord, You told me to walk in love. He said, and that's exactly what I meant. If you do, then I'll talk to you again. But if you don't do what I say, I ain't going to talk to you no more. You know He can do that? Sure. So go over and walk along beside the carriage. Philip ran over and heard the man reading from the prophet Isaiah. So he asked, do you understand what you're reading? You know what? This guy's just like us. The man replied, how can I when there is no one to instruct me? See, he didn't have the Holy Spirit to instruct him like we have today. We can read the word. We have the Holy Spirit. And he begged Philip to come up into the carriage and sit with him. So he went up there. The passage of Scripture he had been reading was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter. And as a lamb is silent before the shearers, he did not open his mouth. He was humiliated and received no justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. Now, if you read that, you think, wow, That don't make sense to me either. Okay? The eunuch asked Philip, was Isaiah talking about himself or someone else? So Philip began with this same scripture and then used many others to tell him the good news about Jesus. Now, how could Philip use many other scriptures to talk about this if he hadn't even read the book? See, he read the book. He studied the book, obviously, right? You need the word hidden where? In your heart. You need your book with you, but you need the word of God in your heart. And to get it in there, you're going to have to not only just read it once in a while, you've got to study it and quote it over and over and over. And then it's in there. So Philip began with the same scripture and then used many others to tell him the good news about Jesus. As they rode along, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, there is water. Why can't I be baptized? Now, is there any reason why this guy can't be baptized? Absolutely not. Next couple verses. Yeah, well, we missed the 37. Let's go back to the King James, see what 37 said. That might be something important. Sometimes these scriptures, these books leave out verses. Some of them, 37. And Philip said, oh, this is very important. Not very important, but it's very, you know, not too bad. And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart. Now, I wonder why they left that one out, the NLT. That's not very important, is it? I think that's very important. And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Is that the most important statement anybody will ever make? Amen. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died for me, didn't he, you? And when you make that confession, that is the most important confession you'll ever make in your life. And this eunuch made this confession. Okay, now then, we can go. We just stay on the King James. He ordered the carriage to stop, and they went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away. Whoa, glory! The eunuch never saw him again, but went on his way rejoicing. See, here, how would you like to be baptized like this? Here's Philip. He reaches up and baptizes you, said, I'm going to baptize you in the name of Jesus. Down in that water and raises him up. The guy said, hallelujah, I'm saved. And all of a sudden, Philip's, he ain't there. Gone. He said, wow, this stuff's really real. That guy was translated. Wouldn't you love to have been there and seen that? I thought, wow, let's see where Philip went. Meanwhile, Philip found himself farther north at the city of Azusa. All of a sudden, get a view of this? Here, I'm fixing to baptize you. And like I baptized many people in our little tub back there, I put them down and I raise them up, and all of a sudden, I'm gone. I'm gone. And I think, I'm standing over here in some church in North Dallas, preaching the Word of God. I thought, what? Lord, what in the world is going on? He said, you just let me be God and you just do what I tell you. Wouldn't that be fun?
Yes.
Whoa, glory. Translated, meanwhile, Philip found himself further north at the city of Azusa. He preached the good news there in every city along the way until he came to Caesarea. If God were to translate you today and say, okay, kids, I got a special place for you today. He says, I'm going to take you, and then I'm going to take you, and you, and I got a different place, every one of you. Bam. And all of a sudden, you're out of here. You're gone. You didn't have to go through the door. You didn't have to take a car. You know, when you, all of a sudden, you're standing someplace in a bunch of people, and the Lord says, now tell them about me. Wouldn't that be awesome? Well, he's sending all of us out to tell everybody about him, whether he translates you or not. So wherever you go today, if you leave here this afternoon to go eat, when you walk into a restaurant, you ask that waiter, do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? If they say yes, ask them the second question, do you go to church? And then if they say, huh? Are you a Christian? Do you know Jesus? And they say, well, I'm a Christian, but I don't go to church. Let me tell you about my King. Let me tell you what he said. Start talking to them with the Word of God. And just like the Holy Spirit, when you leave, who do you leave with them? The Holy Ghost. You might say, are you a Christian? Yeah. Do you go to church? No, I don't go. You know, you really need to find a good church, because Jesus said we should all find a good church. In Hebrews 10:25, we ought to definitely be attentive in a meeting of believers on a regular basis. So since the king said that, why don't you become obedient and do that? You quoted the word, you turn to leave. You say, remember, go to church Sunday. And next Sunday morning, for some strange reason, they wake up thinking, I need to go to church. Amen. See? Now the Holy Spirit, He used you to do that, right? Sure. But what if you don't tell them? What if you walk in there and start to say something about Jesus and there's a little voice that, don't you dare say anything about Jesus in here. You'll look like a fool among all these people. Let me tell you what happened. We went down here to Denny's here a while back. We was having so much fun after Tuesday night Bible study. We'd prayed for people till about 10 or 11 o'clock. And then we went down there, and me and Ty, and I don't know if Eldon and Nancy was with us that night or not. I don't remember. But anyway, four or five or six of us, we went in there, we're talking about Jesus. And we ain't quiet either. Amen. We're praying over the food. Hands raised. Pray, Lord, Father, in the name of Jesus, bless all this food. I mean, everybody in the restaurant could hear us. We definitely wasn't quiet. So we had a ball that night, and we ate our meal and everything. We got ready to go. I said, bring me the check. And the guy said, I think Ty, he hollered first. He said, bring me the check. I said, no, bring it to me. It's my time. He paid for it last time. And she said, well, here's the check, but said, those two men at that table there, they paid y'all out. And they said they left. I said, do we know who they were? She said, they left their business card. And it was two pastors. I thought to myself, we was having so much fun, and those guys thought, you know, those men are really children of God. And so He blessed us that night with a free meal. Now, what can God do if you are about His business? He can bless your socks off. Amen. He can bless your socks off. But you got to serve Him. You know, you want to do this, you can be blessed. Now then, let's go to Luke 17. Verse 17:22. Later He talked again about this with the disciples. The time is coming when you will long to share in the days of the Son of Man, but you won't be able to, He said. Next couple of verses. Reports will reach you that the Son of Man has returned and that He is in this place or that. Don't believe such reports or go out to look for Him. That day has already come. There have been many people saying Jesus has returned. He said, don't believe them. For when the Son of Man returns, you will know it beyond all doubt. It will be as evident as the lightning that flashes across the sky. You know, when Dave and I are flying and a lightning bolt flashes from cloud to cloud and lights up the cockpit, he hasn't learned to enjoy that yet. You know, it is amazing when the lightning lights up, or whenever you see that out there. Of course, I'm just like him. Whenever that lightning shows up on our computer and we actually see it in the clouds and we see it going to the ground. I said, Dave, maybe we ought to go around that one, don't you think? He said, I'm with you. I never have had to twist it on me. He said, nah, that's okay, Pastor. Let's just bore right through that one. I think it's going to be okay. As soon as he sees a little bit of lightning, he says, you see that on the computer? I said, what? He said, you got a little lightning flash right there? I said, well, I ain't seen them yet. He said, but it's right there. It shows it on the computer. All of a sudden, over about 15 miles, I see one little flash. I said, oh, you're right. There's one. He said, let's go around this way. I said, I think you're right. We ought to go around that one. So we don't want to go through that stuff, do we? But it's obvious when that lightning flashes, you can see it. You know, and when it comes big, you know, I mean, especially if it comes close. I mean, you know, it'll really shock you. But the Lord said, it will be evident as the lightning that flashes across the sky that it's going to be me. And then the next two verses. But first, the Son of Man must suffer terribly and be rejected by this generation. When the Son of Man returns, the world will be like the people were in Noah's day. And Noah's day, let's go on to the next two verses. In those days before the flood, the people enjoyed banquets and parties and weddings right up to the time Noah entered his boat and the flood came to destroy them all. Now, this has got to be the most devastating thing ever. This man preached the gospel for 120 years without one single convert. Not a single person believed. They laughed at this fool. There ain't never been no rain. There ain't been no clouds in the sky. Clear blue sky. The water is coming bubbling up from the ground to water it. And you're telling us there's going to be some waterfall out of the sky and there's going to be clouds. You're telling us the deep's going to open up and the water's going to come gushing forth. And we got to repent from our sins or we're going to die. You're a fool. They walked by and laughed at him. Well, look at this big boat this guy's building in his backyard. You know, it was just a little bitty boat. It was only 450 feet long. Only 150 feet wide and 75 feet tall. Now, that's a little bitty boat to build in your backyard, isn't it? 450 feet long? You know, I've often wondered how he done that. As an engineer, he didn't have no power tools. This is the power tools he had. You know, axe. I can't even fathom building a ship 450 feet long with the tools and equipment we got today. But much less back then. But this was no little boat. 450 feet long, 150 feet wide, and 75 feet tall. This was a huge ship. Huge ship. But he said, all these people, they were enjoying banquets and parties. And I can see them now down at their banquet party. What do you think about that idiot out there, that preacher building that big old boat out there? On dry land of all things. Isn't he the stupidest thing you ever seen? Huh? And then one of these guys is looking at some girl in the place, said, you know, why don't you go back and go to bed with me? Were they living in sin? Oh, were they living in sin? Oh, my lands, were they living in sin? They were having parties, banquets, and weddings right up to the time Noah entered into the boat and the flood came and destroyed them all. As the world will, and the world will be as it was in the days of Lot. People went about their daily business, eating and drinking, buying and selling, farming and building. Now then, in the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, what was it known for? Homosexuality. It was known. As fact, when you read in the Bible, you'll find that when the two angels came to the city of Sodom, the men there tried to capture these men to have sexual relations with these angels. Because they were fresh meat, you might say. They had never had sex with any. They wanted those men. And they almost knocked down Lot's door to get these men. You think this wasn't a perverse place? Are we getting just about that bad in America? Well, those angels just said, and those men were struck blind. Does God like homosexuality? He hates it. Does he love the sinner? Yes. Can anybody, even a homosexual, repent and come to God and get saved? Yes. He'll save anybody. But when he saves you, you've got to change. You can't stay like that. He'll deliver you. You got to get rid of it. The old man's got to die. And the new man's got to come to life. That's just what God said. But because of that, the world will be as it was in the days of Lot. This perversion. And are they trying to gag and bind every preacher today where he can't teach what God's Word says? Wow. People went about their daily business, eating and drinking, buying and selling, farming and building. Next couple of verses. Until the morning, Lot left Sodom. He's telling the people, you've got to get out of this place. God's going to destroy this city. And they laughed at him. Another stupid preacher. What does he know? He said, but two angels come and told me he's going to destroy this city with fire and brimstone. You're crazy. God ain't going to do that. God's a big, loving, kind God. He would never destroy us. Oh, yeah? I guess that was just a freak coincidence that the city of Sodom and Gomorrah was burned and every rock and everything. I guess that was just a coincidence, huh? No. Until the morning Lot left Sodom. Once Lot left and got out, then fire and burning sulfur rained down from heaven and destroyed them all. You talk about a nuclear holocaust. There ain't never been a nuclear attack like that one. And who set off that bomb? Who set off that bomb? God did. Who rained down that fire? God did. Why did he rain down that fire? Because he was unhappy with what his men were doing down there on the earth. He didn't like it at all. And did he give them a warning? Oh, yeah. He sent the angels over and told them, get out of this place. If you'll repent, get out. I'll save you. But see, the world, he gave the world 120 years, didn't he, with Noah. Did anybody believe him? Not a single person. Yes, it will be business as usual right up to the hour when the Son of Man returns. I mean, we're going to be just doing the same old thing. Some of us are going to be in church. And some of us are going to be in church after he leaves. Some of us are going to be gone. I wonder, if he came today, how many of us would leave? Do you want to be one of those that goes? Hey, praise God. I want to be on the first load. You know, I don't want to wait. You know, I want to be the first one out of here. Yeah. Cheryl said, if you start up and I'm still standing here, I'm going to grab your hand or your leg or something. She said, I'm going with you. I said, don't worry, I'm going to reach out and get you, girl. I said, I ain't going to leave you here. We're going together. Praise the Lord. Yes, it will be business as usual right up to the end. Let's go to the next couple of verses. On that day, a person outside the house must not go into the house to pack. A person in the field must not return to town. Somebody says, what's this all about? It's intimate. Imminent that you get away. If somebody says, if there's a bomb goes off in downtown Dallas and you're 5 miles from the house, don't go back to pack your bag. Get out. You don't want to go back. On that day, a person outside the house must not go into the house to pack. A person in the field must not return to town. Remember what happened to Lot's wife. What happened to Lot's wife when she looked back? Did God tell him not to look back? Did she disobey? Did she turn to a pillow of salt? Yes, she did. Isn't that sad? A human being, a lovely woman, Lot's wife, why do you think she looked back? Too much of her heart was still down there in that place. When she turned to look back, she didn't want to leave her nice, convenient places where she had plenty of things, a house to live in, good clothes and all the stuff, and maybe even the parties and things that they throw. Maybe she enjoyed going. But when she looked back, God knew what was in her heart. Bam, it's over for Mrs. Lot. She's history. Go to the next two. Whoever clings to this life, and do we do a good job of clinging to this life? Oh, yeah, we do. What does he say will happen to it? You'll lose it. But whoever loses this life will save it. You know, when were we supposed to have lost this life? The day we accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. We were supposed to give up all legal right to this piece of flesh the day we become sons and daughters of God. We were supposed to die to self and live unto Him. We don't do a very good job of that. None of us. I'm working on it diligently. But I'm still getting there. Dave and I have to sharpen iron. We have to talk to each other all the time, don't we, Dave? We want to walk there. Our desire and goal is to walk there. And we're going to. You know, we are going to. That night, two people will be asleep in one bed. Now, I hope this. Now, when you read this in the King James, I don't agree with what it says in the King James. This I agree with. That night, two people will be asleep in one bed. I think this is a married man and woman. And from my own way of looking at this, two of them will be there, and one of them will be awake, or will be taken, and the other one will be left. So let's say a married man and woman, they're living in obedience to God's word, they're married, and one of them believes in Jesus, and the other one really don't. And that night when he comes, maybe that woman, maybe that man, whichever one's a believer, one of them will be taken away, and the next morning when you wake up, your mate ain't going to be there. You're going to get looking. Where'd she go? Honey, where are you at? You're running to look for your children, and they're gone. They were sanctified by the mother. But the daddy, he was one of those kind of guys. I don't need Jesus. Well, let me tell you, when you wake up that morning and there was two of you in bed and you were married, one of you's gone, the other one's left, and your children were gone, and you remember what somebody told you. Only those that believe in Jesus is going to go. You think, oh, God. And then you go turn the TV on, and there's the most devastation. Millions have disappeared. We don't know where they went. There was airplane crashes. There was car wrecks. There was train wrecks. There's devastation everywhere. What happened? What happened? Jesus came. That night, two people will be sleeping in one bed. One will be taken, and the other will be left. Let's go to the next couple. Two women, it says, will be grinding flour together at the mill. One will be taken, the other left. Now then we have to go to the King James on the next one. Two women should be grinding together, the one should be taken and the other left. Two men should be in the field, the one should be taken and the other left. So two women were grinding at the mill. I mean, these women were grinding grain, making flour, they're two working. One of them's a believer in Jesus, the other one's not. And all of a sudden the one that was grinding, that always said, you know, you need to come to church with me on Sunday. You know, I've got a great place I go to church. Jesus is really down there. Ah, you stupid woman. I don't have to go to church. I mean, I believe in Jesus, but you don't have to go to church to be saved. Oh, yeah, but Jesus says, that's okay. I don't want to go. So you're there grinding with her. And all of a sudden, you're gone. She's talking to you. Lisa, what have you been doing lately? And Lisa don't answer. And she turns over and looks and says, she was just here. Where did she go? Wow, I don't know where she was. I swear, maybe I was just seeing things. I thought I was talking to Lisa. But she ain't here no more. She's gone. Isn't that awesome? You want to be one of those girls, don't you? You're going to be one of them. But when you get out in the field, there's going to be two guys working out there. Now, hopefully there's going to be a lot of two guys out there working in the field, and they're all going to be taken. But in some cases, that ain't going to be the case. There's this guy that's talking, you know, we're working out in the field, we're plowing or whatever we're doing, and say, you know, let me tell you about Jesus. Oh, Thurman, every time I'm around you, all you want to talk about is the Jesus stuff, you know. Why don't you get off of that stuff? Let's talk about the movie I watched last night. Man, that was gory. That was good. I mean, well, let's talk about the football game. I mean, the Cowboys, you know, they were really awesome yesterday on Sunday. I said, so you wasn't at church yesterday? You was watching the Cowboys. Ah, who needs to go to church? And all of a sudden, he said, let me tell you about them Cowboys. Where'd he go? He was just standing right there. Where'd he go? I would have swore someone was standing right there 2 seconds ago. He was talking to me. But I'm out in the middle of the field and ain't nobody around. He's gone. Do you want to be one of those? I want to be the one that went, don't you? I don't want to be the one that's left, that's for sure. Wow. Okay. That's it. That's as far as I want to go with that. I guess we could read that last one. Let's read verse 30. I didn't want to read that to you. It's so gory. I'll put it back up there, Dave. I'll read it. Luke 17:37. Lord, where will this happen? The disciples asked Jesus. The disciples asked. Jesus replied, just as the gathering of the vultures, of course, one of the translations says eagles, but it means vultures. Just as the gathering of vultures show there is a carcass nearby, so these signs indicate that the end is near. What happens whenever, if you're a farmer, like I have been many years of my life, and you got cattle or sheep or goats, and all of a sudden you notice down there there's a whole bunch of vultures flying around. You know what that means? You got something dead down there. They don't fly around your place in droves. One may fly over looking for something to eat, but if there's 15 or 20 of them and some of them sitting on the ground, you know you got a dead sheep, goat, cow, or something. And so you know there's been death there. But that's exactly what's going to happen, because the death is going to come upon this nation and multitudes of people are going to die. That first go around in the book of Revelation, it says only one third of the earth will die. during that first encounter. If it happened today, how many people do we have on the earth right now? About how many? Just a rough number. About 6 billion, right? 6 billion people. Well, 2 billion of them are going to die. But you know, and we deserve it. As a nation, we deserve it. Because since I was a young man, when the Roe versus Wade came into existence, we have averaged about 4,000 babies a day that's been killed in the womb of mothers. 4,000 a day. You know how many people that is over, 70, 80, 90, 30, 40, nearly 40 years, 4,000 a day? You know how many people that is we've killed? You know what brought them babies in that people didn't want? Sin. Most of it's sin. Most of it's sin. I was even stupid myself one time. I remember a couple up in New York. That he was a pilot. He was flying with me. We were both going to school. And I talked about Jesus a lot. And so him and his wife came to me and asked me a question. Thurman, we're pregnant. And we don't want another baby. We already have three. So we don't want another one. So what do you think? Do you think it would be okay if we aborted this child? I gave them some very bad advice. Why did I give them bad advice? I didn't know the word. I'd studied a little, but I didn't know. And I told them, I said, well, I guess it will be okay since abortion's legal. I guess you could go down and have an abortion and it would be okay. Did I give them some rotten advice? Yeah. Aren't I glad Jesus is there to forgive me for that stupid sin? Because I gave them some crazy advice. Today, there ain't no way. Somebody says, we're pregnant. I said, how many you got? 16. And we think about an abortion. I said, nope, don't kill it. Let God do what He wants to do with it. Do you know, I know a woman that had got raped up in the north. I don't know her personally. I know of her. I know the boy personally. But she got raped and she had a baby boy. Now, then, after she got raped and found out she was pregnant, she tried everything. Abortion wasn't legal. She tried everything to kill this baby. And she tried to find doctors that would take it. And nobody would do it for her. Finally, one day, she's trying to get this baby aborted. And the Lord spoke to her and says, don't kill this boy. This child you have in your womb is a boy, and I will use him mightily for my kingdom. Do not kill him. And so she didn't. And she had this baby, and that baby grew up to be James Robertson. Has God used James Robertson in a mighty way? Now, what can God do with even one that's born that you don't even never know who his daddy is? What can God do with that child? So don't ever kill one, right? Who knows what God could have done with that little guy? I told him to kill him. But I didn't have good sense back in those days. Oh, I think about how stupid we are. All of us. You know, we've all made some dumb, stupid decisions. You know it? But we're trying, aren't we? And the only way we can learn what's right is read this book. When we read this book, then we don't make those kind of decisions no more. We walk with God. Now then, the Lord said He's coming soon, didn't He? What if He were to come today? Are you ready? Or do you want to be one of those that's left? How about some of those that you love? Are they ready? You need to be praying for them and talking to them. You know that? The man that was the rich man that was down there in this place of torment, what was his desire? Lord, please send Lazarus back to tell my five brothers. I got five brothers that's coming to this place. He didn't want to go. He didn't want to be there either, but he knew it was too late for him, wasn't it? His first question, if we'd went up in Luke a little ways, he said, Father Abraham, send that Lazarus. Let him put his finger in that cool water I'm looking at and come over and put it on my tongue because I'm in agony in this flame. He said, no, he can't. There's a great gulf between you and him, and he can't do it. You ain't never going to get another drop of water. Now, how horrible would it be to be in that kind of flame and torment? And I think about just me out there. Sharon made a great big jug full of ice water, and we brought it out and put it right on the edge of the farms And I'm driving that tractor out there in the hot and the heat and everything else. And I'm thinking, you know, I really need to stop and get a drink of that water. I'm getting dry and dry, but I got all this work to do. I ain't got time to stop. So I'm working and working and working. And finally, I come to a point, I can't stand it no more. You know, stop, jump out of the tractor, run over, give me a glass of water, put it down and go back. I'm gone again. But what if I had to continue to do that forever and I could see that jug of water, but I knew I could never stop and get a drink? Wouldn't that be awful? And you know what it is when you start getting dry and you're out there in the hot sun and you're working and you need a drink. Lord, I need a drink. But there ain't going to be no drinks in hell, is there? Can you imagine that guy that's looking at that big, beautiful pond of water and he ain't never going to be able to get over and get a drink? Nobody has to go there, do they? But they're going to go there if you and me don't tell them about Jesus. If we're not that bold disciple that says, you know, you need to stop sinning. You need to come into the kingdom and accept Jesus. Now, the ones you need to tell to stop sinning is your brothers and sisters in Christ. Those others, you can't, they ain't going to listen to that, you know. I mean, you've got some guy and some gal that's living together out of wedlock. They're enjoying it. You know, they're having a ball. They're both lost. I hope they're both lost. You know, if they're not, they really are in trouble. But, you know, you go up and tell them, hey, you know, you need to stop sinning. What do you mean? You need to move out. What do you mean? I love living with that girl. You know, praise God. No, they won't say that, but they might. They might, you know. You know, that's just in my vocabulary. I can't do nothing but say, praise God. Thank you, Jesus, the King. But, you know, you tell them, you know, you two need to come to Jesus. And if you can convince them to come to Jesus, then who's going to convict them to stop living together? The Holy Spirit, sure. Yeah, that's not your job. But if you see a brother or a sister that's living in sin, you tell them, say, you're my sister in Christ? Oh, yeah, I go to church. And you're living with some guy? Well, yeah, what's wrong with that? Let me tell you what's wrong with it. It's sin, girl, and you need to stop it. Well, now, I ain't sure I believe that. Well, let me take you to the Word and show you what Jesus said. And after a little while, you say, ooh, maybe that is sin. Maybe I need to stop that. How many people do you know that say they're Christians that have sinned that way? Yeah. Too many. And just think, if they'd have died in that, you know where they'd be today? In the lake of fire, down there with that other guy. Lord, please, please, Lord. He says, too late. They got the Word of God. We don't just have the prophet Moses. We got the whole book, don't we?
Yes.
And he said, read it. Read it. And we don't. I think that we're going to have the most devastating year in 2008 we ever had in America. I think you ain't going to like what happens. I hope I'm wrong. Oh, I hope I'm wrong. But if I'm right, all I got to say is, you better get right with God. You better get right with the King. That was Dr. Williams' statement. What did we do? He said, make sure you're right with the Lord. Because if I'm right with the Lord, and even if a bomb does blow up and I happen to be right in the middle of it, and I don't have the faith to come through it, guess where I get to graduate to? The kingdom, the heaven. Give up this flesh anyway, right? But in the meantime, what are we going to do? We're going to teach the Word. We're going to build us a church. We're going to sing songs. Did he say worship Him with song? Absolutely. Are we going to sing songs and worship the King? And then we're going to be equipped. We're going to learn how to do these things. And we're going to go out and we're going to tell everybody we meet about Jesus. And we're going to trust the King. And He's going to do something good, Juanita. And He's going to save and deliver and heal many people because of our testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God. Right?
Amen.
Praise the King. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank You for this beautiful day. I thank You for Your Word. And Lord, I believe You're coming again soon. I don't know how soon that's going to be, but Lord, if it's today, I'm ready. Lord, if it's not today, tomorrow I'll be out there working on that building again. Lord, and if it's next week or next month, we'll keep working on that building until You come. We may be right up on the top of that thing when You come, but if it is, we're going to be working till You come. And if it's a year from now or 5 years from now, we're still going to be working till You come. We're not ever going to give up. We're going to serve You, we're going to walk in love, and we're going to do what You said. And Lord, we're going to be about Your business. Thank You, Father. In Jesus' name.